We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
This is episode number 1144 with New York Times bestselling author Rory Vaden.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Alexander Graham Bell said, "The only difference between success and failure is the ability to take action." And Napoleon Hill said, "Don't wait. The time will never be just right." My guest today is my good friend, Rory Vaden. He's a New York Times bestselling author and co-founder of Brand Builders Group, which is one of the leading personal brand strategy firms that focuses on helping people become the type of person that everyone wants to be in business with. This is the third part of our series together that I'm excited to share with you. Every time I connect with Rory, I learn something new. He gives me great strategy and insights and helping me build my brand and my business. And he's my go-to guy that I lean on for strategy on my personal brand. And in this episode, we discuss the mindset shifts and practices to stop procrastinating, how to rewire your brain to become an ultra performer in your life, why focusing on too many things is sabotaging you. Yes, I know you've got a lot of passions. Sometimes it might be sabotaging you. Why having integrity matters not only for yourself, but also your business and life, and so much more. If you're enjoying this, make sure to text a few friends or post this over on social media and spread the message of greatness to more people. That's what this is all about. Inspiring others to be great as well. And if this is your first time here, click the subscribe button right now over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave a review at the end of the part you enjoyed the most. Okay, in just a moment, the one and only Rory Vaden.
Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness. I'm very excited about our guest today. Rory Vaden is in the house. My man, excited about this. We are talking about the science of success and how to really achieve anything that you can imagine in your life,
yeah.
Your biggest goals, your biggest dreams. But a lot of people have dreams, they have big goals, but most people never accomplish them. Uh-huh. Why is that?
So the number one enemy, I think, that is working against people that they don't even realize is procrastination.
Okay. Why do we procrastinate?
So there's a number of reasons. There's a number of reasons why we procrastinate. The number one reason, according to psychologists, why we procrastinate is because of self-criticism.
Really?
It's thinking that I won't be good enough, that I'm not, you know, I'm not smart enough, I'm not capable, so why should I even bother? Like, this isn't going to work out for me. And there's a lot of extraordinary pressure with that. But there's three types of procrastination.
Yep.
That, and most of us are aware only of the first type. So classic procrastination is consciously delaying what we know we should be doing. Right. So I have some bills on the counter. I know I should pay them, but I'm tired and I'm exhausted. Right.
Yeah.
So rather than paying the bills, I'm going to like Netflix and chill and like not pay my bills.
So that's the first type of procrastination.
Okay. The second
which is
classic procrastination.
Classic procrastination.
Yeah. The second one is actually one I identified in my own life back when we were doing the research for this. Which is funny because, you know, when Take the Stairs came out, suddenly I'm supposed to be like one of the world's experts or whatever on procrastination. And here I struggle with procrastination in my own life. So rather than calling myself a procrastinator, I invented this new term, which I really love, because it not only does it more aptly describe what I struggle with, it also sounds very like academic and sophisticated.
Sure, sure.
And so the term that we coined is creative avoidance.
Okay.
And creative avoidance is different. And this is something that people do as an art form. Creative avoidance is subconsciously creating things for yourself to do so that you can do those things as a means of feeling productive. But really, it's a giant scheme for avoiding doing the things you know you should be doing, even when you don't feel like doing them.
For example, for you, what's a creative avoidance?
I mean, email is probably the ultimate perpetrator of creative avoidance, right? It's just like,
I know I need to do this other thing. I know I need to work on my book. Or I know I need to create this process for my business. Or
sales
I
calls.
Yes.
You gotta deal with a negative customer service issue. Mm. You have to confront an underperforming employee. I mean,
I know I got to go to the dentist and clean my teeth.
Yeah.
The things that you know you need to do, but you want to avoid because it's painful or it's frustrating or it's going to take energy and time.
Energy. Yeah. And we blow it out and we make it way worse in our mind than it actually is. But, you know, you can, it's wild how we do this. And this is where some of the neuroscience comes in, because, you know, your brain is actually working against you here in that, if you look at a brain, like under brain scan, the brain loves to complete things. There's a hit of dopamine, which is mm-hmm. the chemical, you know, that's released into your body, which makes you feel pleasure when you complete things. So when you check things off, like you delete an email or you struggle with this if you've ever completed something that wasn't on your to-do list and then you add it to the to-do list just so you can cross it off.
Yeah.
Why? Because the brain releases and says, oh, I feel good. I'm accomplishing things.
Right.
But really what we're doing is we're allowing ourselves to engage in the trivial. In the absence of clear intention, we become strangely loyal and addicted to meaningly acts of trivia
mm-hmm.
because the brain is rewarding that behavior. People are literally addicted to email or cleaning
social
out
media,
their text or their DMs or social media. They're addicted to it the way you would be addicted to a substance. You're tied to this chemical reaction. But ultra performers, you know, the people we study, these people we profile, these top one percenters, they do things differently. And they have realized that success and greatness is not related to the volume of tasks that you complete, but simply the significance of them. And ultra performers are able to get themselves to do the things they know they should be doing even when they don't feel.
How do they get themselves to do that?
So there's seven things, and we can rip through them. But, you know, the metaphor here is take the stairs. Okay, so you know, that's the title of the book comes from, Take the Stairs, which is a metaphor for we live in an escalator mentality world. Mm-hmm. It's easier to gravitate towards the path of least resistance, towards what is convenient, towards what is comfortable.
Mm.
This is an escalator, and yet the truth of success in any endeavor, any industry, like when you, all the people that you've interviewed here, it's always the same story. It's that they were able to get themselves to do things they know they should be doing even when they don't feel like doing them, i.e. take the stairs.
Mm.
So what we're trying to do is take the stairs. It's discipline. Discipline is the antidote to procrastination.
Yes.
And there's seven key strategies that, you know, we can talk through. But understanding that the enemy is procrastination and these three types, which we haven't covered the third one yet. But procrastination is always there. And in fact, so the third type of procrastination is called priority dilution. And this is fascinating to study. Priority dilution is the chronic overachiever's form of procrastination.
Mm.
What's different about it is, unlike the first two, so classic procrastination and creative avoidance, you know, priority dilution is not about being lazy or disengaged or distracted, but it is the same net result of the first two, which is that you leave the office or you end your day with your most significant priorities incomplete, not because you're lazy, but because you allowed your attention to shift to less significant, but perhaps more urgent tasks. Charles Hummel once wrote an essay called The Tyranny of the Urgent. I believe it was in 1969. And he's talking about how we are victims to the tyranny of the urgent. And the more successful you become, the more you become a leader, the higher you accelerate in an organization, your enterprise grows as an entrepreneur, you've got more and more people vying for your attention, the bigger your personal brand grows,
mm-hmm.
you've got more and more opportunities, more distractions, more things coming at you, and your priorities, if left unchecked, naturally dilute.
Right. So you gotta, yeah. Okay, so priority dilution.
So that's the third type of procrastination.
Yes.
So, you know, the question is, All right, if procrastination is a problem, what's the solution?
Right.
And I really believe the solution can be boiled down to one word. And it's a word that nobody likes. It's discipline.
Yeah.
And it's not hard work. There's a difference. There's a right. distinction. Discipline is doing the things you know you should be doing, even when you don't feel like doing them. If you can develop the ability to do that, then you literally have unlocked the ability to do anything in life, which unlocks the ability to achieve virtually anything.
Yeah, and I think Greg McKeown was talking about, you know, the effortless pursuit of accomplishing. Like, how can we, what's the there's like the path of resistance that will get you there, but when you know you need to take the hard path, how can you make it feel effortless? How can you play games with yourself when you got to do chores? How can you sing a song when you're mopping the floor? Whatever it is, how can you make it feel effortless so it's not like this is exhausting and draining and, oh, I got to do this in order to get somewhere in 10 years. It's how can I reframe my mind around the activity to support me in having energy in the thing I don't want to do.
So let's talk
not be drained by the thing that I don't want to do.
Yes. So that is the first principle, actually. It's called the paradox principle of sacrifice.
Mm.
So now you mentioned Greg McKeown. His Essentialism was his big like breakout book. And the whole message of that book is the disciplined pursuit of less.
Really? Not trying to do everything.
Just the pursuit of less. That's what essentialism, that's how he describes it, the discipline.
Being disciplined by focusing less things.
On less things that are more significant, right? So, but you bring up the conversation of going, okay, well, you know, people here take the stairs and it's like, well, I don't want to take the stairs. You know, it's like, I don't want the hard work, and you have to reframe it. So here's the paradox principle. In fact, I'm going to tell you a story. So in Colorado, where I grew up, we are world famous for the Rocky Mountains.
Yes.
Okay, so to the western part of the state, we have the Great Rocky Mountains. What a lot of people don't realize about Colorado is that as a state, it's divided almost exactly in half. And to the eastern part of the state are the Great Kansas Plains. So it's really flat. Because of that unique topographical landscape, Colorado is one of the only places in the world that has both buffalo and cows in very close proximity to each other.
Interesting.
Have I ever told you this? I don't think I've ever shared this with you.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens, there's a fascinating lesson to learn about greatness and achievement and success from studying the way that these two creatures respond to storms. So when a storm comes, storms almost always start in the west, and they like brew in the west, and then they roll out towards the east. And what cows do is very natural. Cows can sense that a storm is coming from this direction. And so a cow will turn east to run away from the storm. Now, the only problem with that is if
it's going to catch up to
catches up with them, right? So the storm catches them, and without knowing any better, the cows continue to try to outrun the storm. And they actually run with the storm.
And they get trapped by the fence, and then they're stuck there.
They're making it worse because they're trying to outrun the storm, which is stupid. But here's the thing. Humans do the exact same thing all the time. We are constantly trying to avoid these inevitable challenges that come along with the difficult circumstances that our very own choices have led us to be in. I can speak from personal experience here. There was a time in my life where I was 45 pounds overweight. People who are unhealthy are always making rationalizations for why it doesn't matter. Nothing works. I've already tried it. It's not that big of a deal. It's fine. I've also been, there was a time in my life where I was over $50,000 in personal debt. People who are in debt constantly trying to find ways around paying their bills and you know, avoiding
paying off the minimums and spending money on other things.
They keep spending. People who are struggling in their marriage are often avoiding the difficult but meaningful conversations that need to be had if there's any hope of reconciling that relationship. And the key insight that the ultra performers have had that most of us have not is ultra performers have realized problems that are procrastinated on are only amplified. Problems procrastinated on are amplified. So waiting always makes it worse. Now, here's what buffalo do. This is very unique for the animal kingdom. So buffalo wait for the storm, to cross, like, right over the crest of the mountaintop. And as the storm rolls over the ridge, buffalo turn, and they charge directly into the storm.
That's crazy.
So they run at the storm, and by running at the storm, they run straight through it, which actually minimizes the amount of pain and time and frustration they experience from that storm. It's such a great metaphor for all of us because all of us are dealing with different storms in life. You know, we have relationship struggles and health battles, and we're trying to launch a business, and we got young babies, and, you know, all these different, you know, COVID, and we all have challenges. We don't get a choice about whether or not we have storms. The only choice that we have is how we respond to those storms.
Yes.
And more specifically, when we respond to those storms. So the natural human default is to run away from the storm. But what we miss is that it actually makes it worse. So this brings us to the paradox principle of sacrifice, which simply stated is this. Easy short-term choices lead to difficult long-term consequences.
Yes.
Meanwhile, difficult short-term choices lead to easy long-term consequences.
I've got a perfect example I'm living in right now from a long-term consequence. 20 years ago, I had surgery. I had 8 teeth removed because I needed braces. So I put that off for a number of years without doing that. But then I finally got my wisdom teeth removed and then 4 more teeth. So it's wisdom and then 4. And I was delay. But I was having like pain, right? Finally get the teeth removed and I'm supposed to let it heal for a couple months and then go get braces on.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, this is so painful. I don't want to have 2-3 more years of braces now and deal with more pain. And I said, you know what? I'll just live my life like this with 4 gaps. I can still chew everything. It doesn't look too bad. Let me just live my life like this.
Okay.
And for 20 years, I had problems, little problems that continue to stack up. I had digestive problems because my back teeth weren't fully touching, so they weren't actually chewing the food properly. I finally started chipping my teeth in the front that I had to fix a couple times because it was only the front 2 teeth that were actually
connecting.
Chomping and connecting. And I realized, wow, this is going to impact my overall health, not just my teeth and my mouth, but my entire lifestyle if I don't solve this pain now. So at 36, I said, okay, I'm getting braces and making, you know, retainer braces, and it's more painful now, but I'm also glad that I'm taking the actions now and not waiting 5, 10, 20 years when it's my teeth are falling out or something. So I'm taking the disciplined pursuit of the pain now for greater health for the rest of my life.
Yeah, and that's the switch. And right, problems procrastinated on are always amplified.
Yes.
Now here's the shift, and this is really important. We think of it as a sacrifice. I'm enduring pain. But the truth is, we always experience pain. We're all trying to go through life trying to dodge pain. It's impossible. It's inevitable. We always experience pain. The only choice we have is whether or not we pay that price now today, or we pay it later with interest. Procrastination and indulgence are really nothing more than creditors that charge you interest, which means when you make the sacrifice, just as the buffalo charging the storm, it's not a sacrifice. It's a short-term down payment on a rich future blessing. It's just harder now, but it's easier in the long term. See, people misunderstand take the stairs. They think it's like, oh, just, you know, do the hard thing, make your life as hard as possible. No, it's the freaking opposite. Take the stairs is a methodology for giving you the easiest life, the best life, the most rewarding life, like the easiest life. But it is predicated upon an unpopular truth, which is that the shortest, most guaranteed path to the easy life is to do the hardest parts of things as soon as possible so as to avoid the interest that would come with it if you wait.
Yeah, what is, there's like this quote about entrepreneurship or something like, you know, those, I'm going to butcher this, but be willing to do the things today.
It's like
a meme online.
Do what others want so they have what others can't.
Yeah, later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
do the things that others aren't willing to do now so you can have what others won't have later for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Dave Ramsey says live like no one else so later you can live like no one else.
Exactly.
You see, teaching people to get
out of
debt.
It's like if you don't pay the price today, you'll be paying the price forever later.
Right. So it's like,
one of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot, and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
It's not, is life going to be hard? Life is hard either way.
Yeah.
It's, do you want it to be a little bit hard now or a lot of it hard later?
Exactly.
So that's the reframe. And this is what was really fun about the Take the Stairs book was realizing, oh, ultra performers don't like discipline any more than I do.
I like to sleep in.
Yes. But they have learned to train their brain to think differently about it. And you have to train the brain to process choices differently.
Yes.
And once you do, discipline isn't as hard as we think once we know how to think about it the right way. And this is a great example. When you make the calculation, most people just go, oh, that's hard, I'm not going to do it. Well, an ultra performer goes, well, that's hard, but if I don't do it, it's going to be harder later, so I'll do it now.
Yes.
And that opens the gate. So that's the first. It's the we call it the paradox principle of sacrifice.
And that's sacrifice. What's the second?
Yeah. So the second one is the buy-in principle of commitment. And this is really interesting. So whenever we're forced to make a choice, a decision about something that is hard, there's two types of energy that are expended in our decision-making. We have a visual for this that's called the commitment continuum. And so basically, you know, the first type of energy is the one that we all think of. It's the physical energy required to execute the decision. For example, you know, let's just take an easy one like New Year's resolution, I'm going to lose weight, right? When the time comes to go to the gym, the thought process for most of us sounds like this. We say, do I feel like working out right now? And what's the answer to that question?
No.
No, never. I don't feel like working out now or ever.
Yeah.
And for many people, most people, that's the end of the conversation. The human brain is not designed for success. The human brain is designed for survival.
Right.
Survival is about conserving energy. Success is the opposite. Success is about expending energy, doing things that are uncomfortable. So it doesn't mean if you do this, if you struggle with procrastination, if you've made bad choices, it doesn't mean you're doomed for failure. It actually means you have a perfectly functioning, healthy, normal human brain.
Mm-hmm.
But Success is not normal. Success is not average. Success is not what most people experience. If you are trying to experience success, you need to rewire literally the neural pathways in your brain. It is a neurological rewiring that you're doing to yourself. It's like you're reprogramming your own computer.
Right, right.
And part of that is knowing that we learned from the ultra performers, there's another type of energy expended in our decision making, which isn't physical energy, it's emotional energy. And what we learned is that there's emotional energy expended in simply making decisions. And in fact, very often, the emotional energy of making the decision is much greater than the physical energy of executing the decision. And if you think about the gym example, it's not getting ourselves onto the treadmill once we're at the gym that's the hard part. It's when we're sitting on the couch deciding... Right. Whether or not...
To go to the gym.
To go to the gym.
Yeah.
But once you get there, the physical energy is there. It's the emotional energy that is clouding the decision. It is making it feel worse than it actually is.
Is that why it's important to, when you make the commitment, to schedule the commitments in?
Yeah. I mean, that helps. Every little thing helps. But right. So here's the strategy to follow through on commitments that you make that become difficult, which happens.
Yes.
Okay. So in the commitment continuum, you make this decision, emotional energy is expended, and then it becomes difficult. And you've got two choices. You can move forward with what you said you wanted to do, or you can turn back towards the way you've always done things.
So I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week for the year. That's my commitment.
Oh, for the whole year. Yeah.
That's what someone might say. New Year's resolution. I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week for the year.
Yeah. So yes. So it could be that. It could be I'm gonna double our growth. You know, I'm gonna triple our growth. Here's what happens in the moment when it becomes difficult. Most people, okay, you know, the attitude that most of us have is like, is this possible? You know, did I make the right decision? Can I do this? And the key is to instead ask the question, how? Not is it possible? Can it be possible? Do I feel like doing it? Okay, the most of it, it's should. It's should versus how. Most people say, should I do this? Should I follow through? Should I make a different commitment? And you know, you end up becoming what I like to call a shoulda. Right? Don't be a shoulda, because should gravitates you back towards the neutral, towards the safe. The mindset of the ultra performer is 1 degree different, and their attitude says, "Well, I'm in this for good. I already committed to this, and so the question is how? How will I pull this off?
How will I execute this commitment?
How will I hit that target? How will I meet this deadline? How will I get out of debt? How will I lose that weight? How will I save this marriage? How? And so you have to intentionally create the question how, okay? So that you don't inadvertently create the question should. Because should I or can I or is it possible pulls it back towards the negative or towards the neutral. And here's the thing about the brain and just science in general. Neutral isn't good enough. Neutral is negative. Neutral is absent the positive charge. Neutral is negative. So it doesn't mean you have to be like over the top, crazy, like, you know, banging on your chest, doing affirmations like all the time. Like you can do those things. It just means you have to at least be on 1 degree to the side of I'm not allowing myself to question if I'm going to keep the commitment. I'm dedicating 100% of my energy into asking, how am I going to keep this commitment?
Sure.
It's not, should I stay married? It's, how can I fix this? How can I stay married? How can I resolve this?
Right.
That 1 degree of separation in the brain over the course of time creates a trajectory of two completely different outcomes for the same person.
Got it. Okay. So that's about... The question how around the commitment.
Intentionally ask the question how.
Okay. And what would be the next step then?
Yeah. So focus is one of them. You know, as we just kind of breeze through some of these, focus is the idea that focus is power.
How does someone stay focused when life happens?
You,
when you go through someone dies in the family, when the pandemic hits, when... you go bankrupt, whatever. Someone breaks up with you, you lose your job. How do you stay focused under extreme emotional breakdown?
Well, you can't allow your ability to stay focused to be dependent on your circumstances. Because yeah. There's always circumstances.
Always.
Always. There's always something going on in your life that's creating challenge and difficulty and pressure.
So it's almost like certain things need to be non-negotiables.
Yeah, you decide. So here's what you do is you decide. You have to decide each and every day, consciously, intentionally, mm-hmm. deliberately. I know we did another episode on multiplying time and the focus funnel.
Yes.
That is kind of a framework that's from the Procrastinate on Purpose, my second book, about how to figure out what to focus on. But at the end of the day, you just have to decide what you are willing to and wanting to go after, and realizing that until you accomplish those things, everything else in your life is a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is a distraction. But focus is power. And when you have diluted focus, you get diluted results.
Right.
Most people are getting diluted results in their life, not because they're not smart enough or not good enough. It's because they're distracted. Mm-hmm. They are allowing their time, attention, and resources to fragment, to dissipate, to disintegrate, to spread. And what you need is focused energy mm-hmm. to create a breakthrough.
And this is the example of Sheehan's wall, right?
Yeah, we talk about that with personal brands.
Who is Sheehan? Or what is the Sheehan wall?
Who is Sheehan and what's his wall?
I always love this concept, though.
So Sheehan's wall is a
because before you go into that, okay. Because a lot of people, especially in the entrepreneurs that are following or listening and watching, the people that are building personal brands, they have lots of things they want to do at once. I've got this passion and these passions, and I want to try this thing, and I want to build four different companies at once.
Yeah.
And they say, which one do I choose? So when someone's got a lot of passions, they want to do it all at the same time, how can this example support them?
Well, is your question, how do they know which one to choose, or
well, I guess set
why,
up the...
why do they need to choose one?
Yes.
Why do they need to choose one? Okay. So Sheehan's wall is an illustration. We named it after Peter Sheehan, who is a colleague of mine. He's a speaker, really brilliant guy. He's the first person that I kind of heard the concept for, and we've adapted a little bit, but it really came from him. So we named it after him, which is that in personal branding, you've got two groups of people. There are those who are unknown, and there are those who are known.
Yes.
And there's this huge invisible wall that you have to break through. And what most of us do is we're trying to break through the wall. And so we're trying to emulate, you know, these people over here and like going, oh, I want to talk about all these different topics and have all these different business models and be on all these different social media platforms. And I have to do all these different jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bouncing off the wall. They complain about noise, but they actually are the noise. They are part of the noise because mm-hmm. they're doing a lot of different things. And when you have diluted focus, you get diluted results. The way to break through the wall, and this is, you know, kind of
to build audience, attention, credibility, results, all those things.
Yes. So, and that's, you know, personal branding is what we just happen to do, but this Sheehan's wall applies beyond that. But in personal branding, we would say we help clients figure out what's the one thing that they could be known for. Find their uniqueness is mm-hmm. the term that we would use. And the way you break through the wall is by becoming the world's leading authority on one thing.
Mm-hmm. Not 10 things
not
at
10
once.
Not 10 things. One thing.
One thing first. And then when you break through,
then you can expand into other things.
Yes.
So, I mean, if you look at my personal brand as an example, okay, so we're talking about Take the Stairs. I broke through the wall on Take the Stairs.
Mm-hmm.
That book, you know, when we launched it, you know, AJ and I created this plan and our whole team, we worked together. We launched this book. We hit number 2 on the New York Times. I was 29 years old. That was part of how we broke through the wall. That's how I met you. That was how I got the first time on the podcast was years ago at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now, you know, we've been able to expand into some other things. Influence really is what we study. But money is the same way. So the Sheehan's wall applies to money. You've heard people say multiple revenue streams.
Yes.
Multiple revenue streams is horrible advice. It is horrible advice for a beginner.
For a beginner, yes.
You do not want multiple revenue streams. When you're beginning, you need one revenue stream that is really good.
Focused attention.
That is how it works. And if you look at almost every billionaire, they didn't do it by having a lot of different things.
At first.
Yeah. They made their first million on one thing. They dominated one thing and they blew through the wall, and then they got a little bit of money And then they invested it, and then it grew.
And then they diversified into different assets.
And then it grew into other things.
Yes.
But you don't need multiple streams of revenue. All that's doing is diluting your focus, which is going to dilute your results. You're going to bounce off the wall financially. It's the same thing.
This is something when we, when I got into teaching LinkedIn in 2007, 8, and 9.
Yes, you're a great example of this.
I remember at that time I was researching and reading a lot of blogs and following people on social media who called themselves social media experts, teaching all social media. And I was like, I know a lot about these things, but mm-hmm. I'm not the expert on all social media. But I don't know, I was like, and very competitive and ego-driven at the time. I was like, I will outbeat anyone I'm teaching.
I will crush you.
LinkedIn. Like, no one can outteach LinkedIn like me. That was my mindset because I was just so... so much time and energy on it, and I was getting results for people. And I just said, I created a book that helped with credibility. I was doing workshops and events for about a year and selling the book. And then when I found kind of like my breakthrough thing, which was creating a course and using webinars as the engine to sell and build audience and then teach and then sell, I just said, I'm gonna sell this one course over and over until it doesn't sell anymore. I'm tired. You want to do something else? And for the next year and a half, I sold a $1,000 course every single week. And I just said, how can I master being a better teacher of this on the webinar presentation? How can I learn webinars better to draw audience? How can I gain credibility to get leads? And I just sold that same thing over and over for about a year and a half.
And you did that one thing.
One thing. Every week. Every week. And that helped me break through the wall of being known as the LinkedIn guy that everyone came to for advice, speaking, opportunities, articles, whatever it may be. Then after about a year and a half of doing that, I said, okay, people are now coming to me and asking me, can you teach me about Facebook? Yeah. Can you teach me about email marketing? Can you teach me about webinars? How have you done this so much to get these big results selling this program? Then I had the credibility. I broke through the wall on LinkedIn teaching. Open up a little funnel where, okay, I can teach this if I want to and this. But you have to also be aware of not diluting your efforts once you break through, because then opportunities come in and you can say yes to everything and be back to kind of like square one at a different level.
Yeah, there's really a series of walls.
Yes.
And they're bigger and bigger ponds. It's like you're a big, you want to be a big fish in a small pond, and then you go to a bigger pond and then you got to conquer that one.
Yeah.
And each one is a matter of focus. I mean, Bruce Lee said this great. He said, I fear not the man who has 1,000 kicks. I fear the man who has one kick that he's practiced 1,000 times.
Yes.
Right? Like, so... That's what we're talking about here, mm-hmm. and this is a massive problem. The personal brands that we work with, this is one of the number one things that we're helping them with, is going like, if you want to get to the next stage, if you don't have a team of 1,000 employees,
right.
You can't do everything that Dave Ramsey does or right. Gary Vaynerchuk does. Like, you got 6 people, like, you need to dominate the thing mm-hmm. and crush it. Which is what you guys have done a very disciplined job of,
yeah.
of going all in on the podcast in mm-hmm. recent years. And it's growing exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, I mean, look, you're one of the top podcasters in the world.
Yeah.
And you're because you're focusing it, but you've said no to a lot of other things.
A lot of money-making opportunities. And that's the thing that's hard and scary for people, that it's like, well, I could make money here and I could do this cool thing here. But how much time and energy will that thing take away from the main thing, which could multiply and expand and be 10 times more revenue or opportunities if you actually just focused on it? And so for years, we did everything. We tried to build multiple different programs and courses and events and things. And we realized, okay, what are the things that are supporting us and what are the things that we could do but we shouldn't be doing because it's taking too much time and energy away from the main thing?
Bingo.
And the more clarity and focus you can have on that main thing and be committed to that sacrifice, the better results you'll get.
Absolutely.
And so what's the next step?
All right. So the fourth of the 7 here, and I know we're breezing through them, but is the creation principle of integrity.
Mm-hmm. What does integrity mean in your mind?
Well, so to me, integrity is simply the congruence between your words and your actions. But people underestimate the importance and the value of the spoken word as it is connected to creating the life that they want.
Mm-hmm.
All of creation, follows a very simple pattern, all of creation. You think it, you speak it, you act, and if you have integrity, it happens. Mm. You think it, you speak it, you act, it happens. You think it, you speak it, you act, it happens. Everything from this table to this building is somebody had an idea, they thought it. Then they spoke it. They wrote it out. They told somebody. They created a plan. Then they acted. They built it, and then it was real, and somebody sold it, right? Like, you think it, you speak it, you act, it happens.
And if you had integrity throughout the entire process,
it's going to accelerate it. It's going to be more likely to come true.
And if you don't have integrity,
it's not going to come true. Because the words are the first manifestation of our ideas into reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have different religious beliefs, but if you look at ancient scripture, just the Bible, strictly from the purpose of how does it say that God created the world? It says he spoke the world into existence.
Wow.
And then it says that we were created in his image, which if that's true, that means we have the same power. Now, whatever your religious beliefs are what they are, but it's kind of irrefutable to say, look, as I say something, if people know that I am someone who does what I say I'm going to do,
yeah,
it's easier for them to rally behind me. It's easier for them to support me. Like, if I say, let's meet up for lunch tomorrow at 11, and you trust me, you're going to be there. Mm-hmm. But if I say, yeah, we should meet up for lunch tomorrow at 11, and you're like, he's not going to be there. Like, right. Or he'll be there at 11:30. My integrity affects my integrity, mm-hmm, and my track record of the alignment between my words and actions actually shapes the way the world externally responds to me and everything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
As I am known for integrity, people put a lot of stock and weight and trust into what I say, and they align around it.
Yes.
As there is a breakdown or a breach of my integrity, then people don't put much stock and weight and trust, and they don't align around it. But you know, if Oprah says she wants to do something, the whole world will jump to align around, mm-hmm, it, you know? Mm-hmm. She has that trust, that stock.
How does someone learn the art of being 100% in integrity when we are flawed, broken human beings that will probably in some way, shape, or form always be a little bit out of integrity on being exactly on time, or there's breakdowns or traffic? You know, it's
sure.
How do we learn the art of being the best level of integrity we can be?
It's mostly just a constant pursuit, mm-hmm, of that alignment.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a Realtor can help answer. Because Realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what Realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
And it is intentionally creating a future for yourself. So this is also the way that you talk about yourself. So look, let's just say if a student says, let's say a kid has a teacher that says, you know what? Oh, you know, that answer was stupid. I can't believe you said that. And the kid hears it as I'm stupid.
Mm.
Okay. And then they start repeating to themselves, I'm stupid. So you think it, and now you're thinking, I'm stupid. And then you speak it. You start telling people, yeah, I'm stupid. I'm not good at school. I don't like school. School is dumb. School is a waste of time. So now you're speaking it. If that happens, then when it comes time to study for the test, which is the action,
mm-hmm,
do you think somebody who says that all the time is going to study for the test? No, because they don't think
it's... I'm stupid. Why should I even try?
Why? Yeah. It's not relevant to me. I'm stupid. This is not for me. And so if they don't study for the test, they don't take the action, then when the test comes, what result do you think they're going to get? A good score or a bad score? They're going to get a bad score. It happens. You think it, you speak it, you act, it happens. Now, here's the part that sucks. That happens. Once you get that bad score, Now it reinforces your pre-existing story. See, I am in fact stupid. And what we do is we organize, the brain organizes itself and life and processes the world around it to prove itself right.
Of course.
And it orients, it's the reticular activating system. It actually notices, pays special attention to things that reinforce beliefs it already has.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes to say this, what you believe isn't necessarily what is truth. We believe what we hear most often.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot more control over that than people realize.
Yes.
Whatever you tell yourself most often is what becomes true. And you have to rewrite this, your own stories about yourself, lest you are guaranteed to live into the stories that you tell yourself about yourself.
Yes.
And some people, Lewis, this is heartbreaking because one of the things that we have noticed is that some of you would never allow a stranger to talk about your kids or your spouse or your family
or you
the way that you allow yourself to talk about
you. It's crazy.
And it's heartbreaking. And you are creating your own future through the spoken word. And then the alignment, so, you know, to your other question, our goal is just to, as much as possible, be aligning our words and our actions.
Right.
So, and it's like, okay, if I'm late, fine. Tell me, Lewis, I'm running 5 minutes late.
Mm-hmm.
And then try to be there, you know, four minutes late, not seven, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just a constant alignment. It's a muscle that you can build. It can be as small as saying, I'm going to pick up a piece. I'm going to pick up that piece of trash. And then you pick it up. You have added weight to your integrity. You've reinforced it.
It's being your word.
And your brain wants to reinforce it, which is what you got to be careful of. You just got to be intentional of that. Your brain is going to reinforce whatever you tell it. The brain is happy to do whatever you tell it to do. You have to tell it to do the right things.
And so once we are in alignment with our integrity, with our thoughts, our words, and our actions, what's the next thing?
Yeah, so the fifth one is... the harvest principle of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a lot.
So the harvest or hardest?
Harvest.
Harvest.
Harvest principle of schedule.
What's that mean?
Yeah. So when people think of time, you know, the most common thing they hear of is the concept they hear the most is balance. I think balance is a horrible metaphor for how we spend our time. Because balance, by definition, means equal force in opposite directions, right? So for these to be balanced, they would be equal force in opposite directions. That metaphor applied to our life, and specifically our time, suggests pretty directly that in order to, you know, achieve happiness or whatever, that we would spend equal time on different activities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not only a discordant metaphor, it's virtually an impossible pursuit. I mean, if you sleep 8 hours a day and you work 8 hours a day, then the only way you could ever achieve balance is to do one other activity, and it would have to be that one activity 8 hours a day. It just doesn't make sense. It's impractical. The other thing is, the truth about achieving results is that, first of all, it doesn't take the same amount of time to achieve great results in different areas of our life. You don't have to work out. Good news, you don't have to work out 8 hours every day to be really healthy. Yeah. Now, if you want to be the Rock, you probably got to work out 4 hours every day.
Right.
Okay, but if you just want to be healthy, you might work out 30 minutes a day and be like in the top 10% of health, you know, in America.
Eat well.
Eat well, exercise, right, every day. That's good news. You also don't have to spend 8 hours every day with your spouse to have a deep relationship.
No.
In many cases,
you... 8 hours a day with your spouse over 10 years, you might ruin the relationship.
But it's more about dedicated, a focused relationship, talking about things that are really deep and personal and intimate.
Yes.
Intimacy is allowing yourself to be seen, to be known. That is powerful. You don't have to make cold calls 8 hours a day to be a great salesperson.
Right.
If most salespeople made 1 hour of legitimate outbound prospecting activity, their pipeline would be so full in 6 months that they would have enough warm relationships, but they don't. They do creative avoidance, and they spend an entire career doing everything they can do to dodge making a sales call, and procrastination, is a creditor that charges them interest, and they never get ahead. It just gets worse because they're not confronting the thing. So what's the harvest principle of schedule? It's this concept that great results are not achieved through balance. Great results are achieved through short seasons of intensive imbalance, like a harvest. You know, a farmer, when the harvest season comes, I'm an indoor type, but you know, people who farm, I hear, when the harvest comes, they will work 18 hours a day. They have to work 16, 18 hours during the harvest because the harvest is when the harvest is. It's a season. And during that season, if they want to maximize the results, they have to imbalance everything else for a short season. Now, that shouldn't be their lifestyle the whole year. That would be unhealthy.
They'd be burnt out.
But again, it's focus. The way you create breakthroughs, like, okay, here's a great example for me. When I was 45 pounds overweight, working out 5 minutes a day when I'm 45 pounds overweight, it's not going to do it, sweetheart. Like, what I did is I said, I'm never going to drink soda again. I'm never going to eat fast food again. I am never going to eat sugar again. And I'm going to work out every single day until I get to where I want to be.
Wow.
And it is this short-term imbalance, a harvest season, where I go, for this moment in my life, I'm super focused on this. And that's how you create a breakthrough. And then once you create that breakthrough, it's much easier to maintain that level of performance. So the way we think of it is, you actually allocate the minimum amount of energy, expend the minimum amount of energy maintaining everything else.
Right.
And dedicate 100% of the excess energy in one direction to create an explosion, right, to create the power, the focus, the breakthrough. Launching a book is a season. And this is true about, you know, authors. We have book launch season. Athletes have seasons. Accountants have tax season. Retailers have retail season. Seasons are a much more accurate reflection of our lives and how they work and how you actually create results.
Speaking my language with sports, there's a preseason, there's a season, there's the playoff season, and then there's the postseason.
Postseason.
You got to recover from that time. But the preseason, the training camp, you're going hard. You know, the season, you've got weeks and moments. You've got the game day, but you build up to it and you go a lot hard at the beginning and then the end. Yeah. And the postseason, you've got all your attention on giving your best for those last couple weeks, and then okay, it's time to recover, regroup, revisualize what you want, and move from there. What are the last two steps? Because I think this is a lot for people to take on.
And, yeah, this is a ton. I mean, this is a lot. We're covering a lot of ground here.
You've got this entire process with lots of examples and exercises on how people can implement this in your book, Take the Stairs: The 7 Steps to Achieving Success. But what would you say are the last two? And I want people to get this book and go through it as well so they can have all of it. But what are the last two?
Thank you. So real quick. So the perspective principle of faith is number 6.
Yes.
Which is my favorite of the 7 because it is, the other 6 are all strategies to achieve. The perspective principle of faith is all about how do ultra performers respond to failure. The short of it is just this, that faith is choosing to believe that what is happening now is somehow for a greater good later on.
It's so hard for people to think that way.
Hard.
I believe that's the only way you can think in order to not go crazy in some level. Because there's so much pain. There's so much unfairness in the world for a lot of people. There's so many things that you wish didn't happen to you, friends, family, loved ones, that happen. And they're going to continue to happen. And we can either live in pain and suffering and frustration and resentment and anger of the world or whatever unfairness has happened, or we can choose to have faith that this is happening for a greater cause, a greater reason, and I don't know what it's going to be. Maybe I'll know in a year, maybe it takes 20 years, maybe I'll never know, and someone else will know. But you've got to learn that principle.
You have to make that choice. It's the hardest of the seven choices, but it is most significant in the long term. I actually once heard someone describe heaven as a bunch of people walking around going, oh, now I see why that happened.
Right.
Now I see why that happened. One little shortcut on this, because pain is real and we live in a broken world and it's painful. When you're experiencing pain, the healthiest and I think like the only way to respond to it is to choose to believe that the pain you're going through is preparing you to become the person you one day need to be for somebody else.
Oh man.
Otherwise, that's good. I run out of endurance. Otherwise, I give up. My discipline is gone, right?
Otherwise, you'll go into addiction or drinking binge eating or binge watching, and you'll just say, what's the point?
We can do a whole other conversation on this at some point.
What's the point? Why do I even show up? This is unfair. This happened. I lost my child, or I got injured, or why is this happening?
In the moment, it is unfair.
Yes.
But through perspective, it's the perspective principle of faith. Our ability to have peace is directly proportionate to the term of our perspective.
Ooh.
If I'm focused here and now, it's unfair, it's angering, it's enough to break you. If I zoom back and I go, oh, maybe I'm being prepared to help this person, or maybe that's going to lead to this, maybe that flat tire that I got that really made me mad prevented me from a fatal car accident down the road. If I don't have, in the moment, all I see is the flat tire and I'm pissed. But if I had the perspective of going, oh, it saved me from a fatal car accident, I would look at the same incident in a completely different way. And we don't have that gift of foresight, but we do have the gift of choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's strong. It's not easy. That's a tough one.
This is hard.
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one. And the last step would
be... Last one is the pendulum principle of action.
The pendulum principle of action.
Okay. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but here's what I will tell you with, and this is a good thing to leave you with, is that... you know, all of these are difficult decisions. They're difficult choices. It's a decision to take the stairs in every area of life, in every way. It's the truth of greatness. It's the truth of every success story. Success is never an accident.
Mm-hmm.
But it is deciding every day to keep going.
Yeah.
It's something that we call the rent axiom, which is that success is never owned. Success is only rented. And the rent is due every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the rent is paid through the small, seemingly insignificant, trivial choices that we make each and every day. And success is simply the trajectory of those choices compounded over time in your life. But to become, you know, a multimillionaire is not some big extravagant event that happens overnight. It is small decisions made repeatedly, mm-hmm. and a decision and a commitment to make them each and every day.
What's the Muhammad Ali quote about service is the rent you pay for your room here on earth or something like that?
I don't know. I don't think I've heard that one. That sounds like a good
something
one.
Something like service is the rent you pay for your room here on earth.
I like that.
Something like the house here on earth.
Something like that.
And I think if you can take action, and be in service with your action to whatever your gift is, whatever your truth is in that season of life, and you can be of greater good through your actions some way, somehow, then that's going to even multiply what's coming for you in the future.
Absolutely. And you know, one thing that is huge of this is we have seen and we have some data that proves that the more accountability you have in your life around these principles, the more likely you are to succeed.
Mm.
And it just makes sense. You are who your friends are. Mm-hmm. But we don't live in a take the stairs world. We live in an escalator world. Most of the world is looking for shortcuts and quick fixes. You have to surround yourself with take the stairs people.
Mm-hmm.
People doing the things that other people aren't willing to do.
Growth-minded people. And you need accountability. It's hard to stay focused, to commit, to be in integrity, to manage your schedule,
To make sacrifices
and to
choose faith
in a time of pain. We're all going to have it, and to take consistent action. This is one of the reasons why we created Greatness Coaching. Some of you guys may have heard about this. If you haven't applied for Greatness Coaching, go to lewishouse.com/coaching right now. Check it out. It's a year-long accountability program that supports you in your goals, getting clarity, having a community of high achievers surrounding you with support, and having a monthly game plan that you can focus on and take action on to build momentum month after month, year after year. Check it out, lewishouse.com/coaching, and apply if you feel like it's right for you. You can read all about it there, see testimonials and all that stuff. Again, lewishouse.com/coaching for greatness coaching for a year of accountability. Rory, this is amazing. Take the stairs. This is all about the science of success. We just scratched the surface on these things. Yeah. They can learn more by getting your book, following you on social media, Rory Vaden everywhere online. And I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure, brother. You're the man. Much love.
Appreciate it.
Always.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, make sure to spread the message of greatness to a friend. Text a few friends right now or post us on social media. Tag me and Rory Vaden as well so we know who is listening and what you got out of this. And if this is your first time here, click the subscribe button right now over on Apple Podcasts so you can stay up to date on the latest and greatest from the School of Greatness show. And I'm going to leave you with this quote from Karen Lamb, who said, "A year from now, you may wish you had started today." I want you to think about the things you could do right now on a daily basis that your future self will thank you for. What is that thing you've got to do consistently that will take time to get results, but in 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, you'll be thanking your older self for constantly showing up for your future self? What is that thing? Really think about that for yourself and start implementing that on a daily basis. Your future self will constantly be thanking you for showing up for yourself today. And I want to remind you, if no one has told you lately, that you are loved, you are worthy, and you matter. And I'm so grateful for you. And you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada, yada.
Yada, yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada, yada.
And bye.
You don't take yada, yada in life. Don't take yada, yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada, yada, yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.